KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky. It's 26 degrees. We're looking for skies to be partly sunny today, a high of 44, with south-southwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to near 30. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In state news, new data indicates that Iowans in general are earning more income, but the growth rate is modest. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The Pew Charitable Trust released a Fiscal 50 report this week on all the states, tracking a wide variety of data. The report shows Iowans' personal income grew 0.6% in the past year. That's about the national average. The report also shows Iowa has a greater share of its population in the workforce than any other state. Nationally, about 78% of adults who are under the age of 55 are working. In Iowa, 86% of the people in that prime working age category are working. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Like 32 other states, the Pew report found tax payments to the state of Iowa declined last year. However, the report found the state of Iowa has enough cash in reserve that the state could operate for 45 days on that cash reserve alone. The Speaker of the Iowa House says the changes she and her fellow Republicans will propose in Iowa's collective bargaining law will likely mirror legislation that cleared the House in 2011. That bill would have eliminated layoff procedures from being part of union contracts, giving managers the authority to fire any worker regardless of seniority. House Speaker Linda Upmeyer says it's been 40 years since Iowa lawmakers have taken a thoughtful look at collective bargaining rights in Iowa.
Over the years, every time we've created a new mandate, every time a contract is reviewed, it is one more finger on the scale that tilts it just a little bit. So what we'd like to do is to rebalance this a little bit.
The 2011 bill that cleared the Republican-led House also would have required state workers to pay more for the cost of their health care. This year, Governor Branstad has suggested a statewide health care pool for all union contracts, including contracts for local police and teachers. Upmeyer says Branstad raised a good point, and that's an option being discussed. But Upmeyer is indicating Republican legislators do not intend to make that move mandatory.
We recognize there are differences around the state and in pools where they are self-insured, that sort of thing. But if you have an option, that could also be an opportunity where you could save some dollars that could be then reinvested back into the city, county, school, state, whichever entity it is.
In addition, Upmeyer is suggesting the GOP will pursue changes in what arbitrators may consider when union representatives and management cannot agree.
One of the places that we see the scale getting tipped perhaps the most is in arbitration.
Current law says arbitrators must either choose the final offer from the state or the final offer from the union. Upmeyer says arbitrators do not take into account whether the state or local government can afford the contract.
So it sort of turns taxpayers into an ATM machine. And rebalancing that a little differently, I think, would create a little more fairness in the system.
Upmeyer says Republicans also want to give arbitrators the authority to compare public sector wages with wages in the private sector when ruling on government employee contracts. She says during her comments made Friday during a taping of the Iowa Press program that airs this weekend on Iowa Public Television, that unions protested the collective bargaining changes that Upmeyer and other Republicans sought in 2011, and the bill was blocked by Democrats in the Iowa Senate. This year, though, Republicans are in total control of the legislative branch, and the state's Republican governor is receptive to the proposals. Unions in Iowa have already begun to lobby against changing Iowa's collective bargaining law. During a January 5th news conference, a teacher from Cedar Rapids accused Republicans of targeting unions because organized labor has traditionally supported Democrats. Budget-cutting plan Governor Branstad signed into law this past week slashes the money provided to Iowa's prison system this fiscal year by $5.5 million. Iowa Department of Corrections Director Jerry Bartruff says he's hoping to finalize a response plan over the next 7 to 10 days.
At this point, we've been managing our budget by not filling vacancies and cutting back on travel and training.
There are currently around 100 vacancies within the agency that are not being filled, according to Bartruff. Up to 80% of the corrections department budget is directed at salaries. Given the size of the budget cut, furloughs are likely, but Bartruff isn't ready to say how many workers could be let go.
I'm not able to disclose that at this point because we have ongoing vacancies that are created. So the more vacancies that we can keep open, the less we need to go into the reduction in force arena. So we're monitoring that very closely and see what we can do with belt tightening and not filling vacancies to see how close we can get there before we have to look at staff reduction.
There are roughly 3,700 employees in the Iowa Department of Corrections. Iowa has 9 prisons housing over 8,000 inmates located in Anamosa, Coralville, Mount Pleasant, Fort Madison, Newton, Mitchellville, Fort Dodge, Rockwell City, and Clarinda. The governor on Wednesday approved legislation that cuts $88 million from the current year's state budget to deal with lower-than-expected state tax revenue. In area news, an Atlantic woman was injured when the vehicle she was driving struck a horse on the road north of Atlantic Thursday night. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said Friday, 59-year-old Pamara Charlene Pennington of Atlantic was southbound on Olive Street, approaching Fair River Road at around 7 p.m. when two horses entered the roadway. Pennington's 2005 Buick LeSabre struck one of the horses. Pennington was transported to the Cass County Hospital by medevac ambulance. The injured horse, owned by Bob Bebensee, had to be put down. Damage to Pennington's vehicle was estimated at $3,000. The Atlantic Fire Department was called to what was initially described as a large gas spill Friday morning at the Casey's East store on East 7th Street. The call came in around 8:39 a.m. Firefighter Gene Schmeling told KJAN News the spill was actually only a couple of quarts at best. It occurred as a motorist was filling up their vehicle and apparently wasn't paying attention. Crews put down peat moss to absorb the spill and then cleaned up the mess. Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday there were 2 separate arrests that had taken place on Wednesday. 56-year-old Raymond Lynn Knudsen of Atlantic was arrested for OWI first offense, and 64-year-old Patrick Clark of Elliott was arrested for OWI first offense. Both were taken to the Cass County Jail and then later released on Thursday. A Creston man reported to police late Thursday morning that sometime earlier that same day, someone had broken into his home located in the 2200 block of South Cherry Street in Creston. No items were reported missing, but there was damage to a door, the value of which was $350. The driver of a vehicle that ended up in the Boyer River last month now faces a felony charge of motor vehicle homicide by OWI and 4 serious misdemeanor counts of providing alcohol to a person underage. Authorities say 25-year-old Ramon Hernandez of Denison drove through a farm field with 4 teenagers in his car before it plunged into the Boyer River during the early morning hours of January 19th. Hernandez was originally arrested January 23rd and charged 3 counts of distributing a controlled substance to a minor and 1 count of distributing a controlled substance to an adult in connection to the crash. Each of the prior charges were also felony offenses. Hernandez faces charges of reckless driving, driving while suspended, and failure to maintain control, in addition to the other charges. A passenger in the vehicle, 15-year-old Ioana Acosta of Denison, was found in the Boyer River after a week-long search by numerous agencies and volunteers. 3 other passengers, along with Hernandez, were able to escape safely. Crawford County Attorney Roger Saylor filed the new charges in district court on Thursday. The county attorney had also formalized the charges for which Hernandez was arrested on January 23rd. Our news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.